This time on Compassion Radio.
I know there are a lot of people that think, if I do something for God, I'm going to be called to go do it and see it through from start to finish. I'm going to get to experience all the different phases of that ministry, and I will have a testimony then of how God starts and finishes things. People have that expectation. They're going to get to.
Yeah.
And our expectations are often frustrated when we step into doing the thing that we know God has called us to do. We don't get to see the beginning, or we don't get to see the end. We barely get to see the middle sometimes. Even seasoned missionaries that spend decades or a lifetime on the field feel like they never saw any fruit.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram connects with pastor's wife, worship leader, missionary, and experienced Bible smuggler, Cindy Woodward. They'll be talking about her many adventures in the mission field and how God's great faithfulness brought her through when things got really tough in her life. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part two of their conversation. Here's Bram.
I've had that experience too, sitting in the presence of someone who you know is in the presence of Jesus. Now, when you're with someone like that, there's something going on there that your spirit resonates with. You say, I can trust this. I am safe here. I'm in the presence of someone who's greater than I. And you just know it. You experience that satisfaction of I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm being exactly who God created me to be. And when you experience that sitting there, you know that God is pleased, not just with this person, but with you for being there. There's, I can't even describe myself that kind of satisfaction that comes from knowing I'm exactly where I need to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And I assume that was true for your whole team, too.
We would have two of us make contact and the other two would stay and just pray for the others going. Another time, I think it was that same trip, one of the guys and I had been the ones to memorize this contact information. So he and I were the ones to go at night, and the other couple were, you know, in the camper praying. So we were dropped off and walked, and we got to the street. I memorized it, that the house was on the left, and he thought it was on the right. And he had done these trips before. And, you know, we're trying to be inconspicuous, so you don't want to just go walking, talking, and knocking on doors and stuff. So he trusted my memory, which I was really afraid because he'd done this before. You know, I had not ever done this. But we went to the house on the left, and it was dark in the front. The drive was on the left side of the house, and the house was sort of in an L shape. And so there was a courtyard in the back part of the L of the house. So we walked around the corner, and there were lights on in the back part of, in the courtyard area. So we walked around, and we started just running around the corner, and we're looking, trying to see if this seemed right from what we had remembered. And an older man was on the second floor window looking out, and he called out to us, and it sounded like he was angry because that's what their language sounded like. But he said something in German, and my friend could speak a little German. And so they communicated, I think it was mostly through the spirit, but they were communicating, and he was looking for us. And that was so odd because they would be told that in the month of June, you would have someone coming to your home with material, but they wouldn't have any idea what time of the month. He said that he was sitting in his window looking for us because God had told him that someone was coming that night. There's no way he could know that outside of God letting him know that.
It sounds like the parable of the bridesmaids waiting for the groom. You keep your lamp lit for that time when he's coming.
So he invited us upstairs to his office, and we talked a little bit. Well, Dave and he talked a little bit. Just sat there. He sent his son with Dave to go get the material from them. While Dave was gone, this older man and I sat at his desk, and I knew about three words of German, and he knew maybe three words of English. And somehow, through pictures and hand gestures, we were able to share our testimonies with each other. I don't know to this day how I could understand and he could understand. But we were able, and it was just the sweetest, sweetest time. He had been in war and had a leg amputated from an injury in that, and he was just a precious man. And I'd never had an experience like that where we could really communicate despite the language barrier. And it was our stories of Jesus rescuing us. So that was really exciting. the camper got stuck, and the whole village turned out to help get them out. You know, it wasn't very inconspicuous, but it was exciting.
So, now, Cindy, let me just ask you, what in the world was a missions and Bible smuggling agency in Holland thinking by turning loose a young 20-something Mississippi girl with no extra language experience on Eastern Europe during those very sensitive years?
Don't you wonder? I really don't know. I don't know.
I do believe that God uses our availability for sure, and he's willing to take us places. But there's something, I think, definitely God-driven in that, because there is no reasonable way in that situation where you should have come back without having a prison record. Much less been successful at actually bringing the Word of God to people who really, really wanted it.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more with our guest, Cindy Woodward. And then later on, Bram's wife, Sandy, will join him to help wrap things up. Stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. We are so excited to tell you about our Compassion Radio Bibles Project. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. Let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I remember in 87 going into the Hungarian border and getting stopped, and we had a boatload of records and all kinds of stuff stacked in the back, and we were supposed to drop them off somewhere in Austria and not take them with us, and that fell through. So here we are pushing on. We have a deadline to get to. We have a place to be in central Budapest we've got to get to. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of copies of vinyl records and CDs and cassettes and things, all of which was contraband under the laws at the time. And so we just rolled up the border, and I remember Monty, our director at the time, just turned around and said, okay, pray over those boxes back there because God's got a plan for them, and I don't think it's to be thrown in the garbage can here at the border, so start praying. And we pull up behind the station wagon, and the station wagon in front of us is getting pulled over, and then suddenly there are like 10 or 15 people going through this station wagon and ripping the panels out, doing the entire stripped down to the bare metal kind of search, which you expect for drugs or something.
Right.
They were after Bibles. And it turns out the guy that was driving that station wagon had had his passport flagged for some previous issues in the East. They found the Bibles. They ended up taking the whole thing apart, and they had a few boxes, maybe a box and a half worth of Bibles and some literature, like Sunday school kind of stuff. Not big deal.
Right.
But for the children, which was a big offense, as you know, You don't go after the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would take in VBS things. Yeah.
Right. And it was important for us as a Christian body to help train the young people. And they knew that,
correct,
too. That's why the communists were mm-hmm. so anti-reaching the children. So anyway, mm-hmm. this guy is having the worst day of his life. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this all happen. And then one young guy walks into our bus and looks back and says, "What's that?" With his gun, lifts up a hang-up bag, and there's a whole pile of records.
Mm-hmm.
Without even a second guess, the assistant director of the group says, "Oh, it's a music group. Would you like a copy?" Pulls it out of the box, turns around, holds it up to him. He goes, "For me?" I said, "Yes, for you." And mm-hmm. so the other guys came forward and said, "Yeah, we'd like to give you a present." So he kind of stopped and said, "No present." And he kind of looks over at his boss over there, and he said, mm-hmm. "Take some for your friends." And so he got all excited.
Oh,
then.
Wow.
So we took three or four
wow.
different things. And then we took a pen and actually signed it for him because he wanted an autograph. He carries this little gift box of music back to his station. While all of his other friends are ripping apart this other car, we sail right through. And we gave away some Christian music to the folks that were there at the gate doing all that searching.
Yeah.
And they were thrilled.
Wow. That's so exciting.
I know. And before we left, our director walked over to that missionary and said, "Hey, buddy. God's got your back. He had a reason for this. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know that you got a whole busload of missionaries right there that are getting through because you blocked for them." And that relieved him. And so on we went, and we managed to give away every single copy of that music to the worship teams and people that we met with during those following weeks. So you never really know how God's going to use the thing you did or the thing you didn't get to do for his purposes. And I've taken that with great courage over the years, that even if I don't succeed at something, God's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all hanging on me. It's certainly your destination with this particular missionary in that country, this old war veteran that had his eyes out looking for you because God told him to watch. He's got a plan for how he's going to connect you all, even if people can't remember the exact directions. He will and does guide people to what he wants them to get done. So, Cindy, moving on further into this thing, you're building relationships now. You're building great trust in God's ability to use you and affirm you in the work that he's called you to do for that time.
Right, and direct us.
Where else did God bring you during that time?
On my second trip, it was a different team, a different makeup of people, and it didn't seem to work. You know, in my mind, I'd even tried to warn those who were putting the teams together that when the girl, the other female on the team, would not be a real asset to the team. Because I had roomed with her and I saw a lot of red flags. But they disregarded what I said and sent her with us anyway. And I just knew, from the beginning she was going to be with me. You know, it was one of those dreaded knowings.
Yeah.
Just very difficult and very self-centered. And halfway through the trip, she just wanted us to put her on a train back home. So we gladly went to Prague, I think it was, maybe Budapest. Anyway, we went to the city to try to get her on. And we also had a flat tire on an American pop-up on the weekend. So, you know, you have trouble finding a tire for an American camper in Budapest on a weekend. But anyway, we got her to the train station. We saw the Orient Express, which I was excited to see that. But the lines were so long to get anywhere, and she missed her train. So we had to take her with us, which was very frustrating. We were delayed because of her and because of the flat on the camper. We were missing our time schedule to get to another family somewhere away from Budapest. We finally got there, and the people had just arrived from their holiday. So we would have missed them if we were going according to our plan, our schedule. And God allowed us to kind of go through some disruptions into our plans to help us fit his plan.
And even the people that are in the right, so to speak, in the situation are frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a situation where there's not a person involved that's not frustrated for some reason. And it seems to be the exact thing that God used to get you on point.
Yes. It was. We would have missed them, and we would not have stayed that long trying to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like God really had a very important purpose for that material to be given to them.
Okay.
So we just saw God show up in all kinds of ways, big and small, that really have impacted my faith in him and his direction, his leading, his sovereignty, just my ability to trust him or my reasons to trust him.
Let's go ahead and talk now about the fruit of that in your own life. I know there are a lot of people that think, if I do something for God, I'm going to be called to go do it and see it through from start to finish, I'm going to get to experience all the different phases of that ministry, and I will have a testimony then of how God starts and finishes things. People have that expectation. They're going to get to. And our expectations are often frustrated when we step into doing the thing that we know God has called us to do. We don't get to see the beginning, or we don't get to see the end. We barely get to see the middle sometimes. And then we wonder, was it worth anything?
Right.
We'll hear more from our guest, Cindy Woodward, next time on Compassion Radio. Right now, here's Bram and his wife, Sandy, to wrap things up for us.
Sandy, here's another chance for us to bookend the program today. And I want to ask you about your thoughts on the scripture that we were discussing at the end of the interview. Cindy and I were talking about the anchor of hope. Now, there are times when we seem to be doing things that are way outside the realm of our experience, and we have no hope that it's going to work out well, but for God. And sometimes we just have to try something that God's saying to do, even if it makes no sense to us intellectually, because we know in our heart of hearts that God's going to do something great. So we take that risk. Sometimes our faith has to be tested. And we talked about how God sometimes rewards us with a little bit more insight. And I really loved what Cindy said. Even if we don't get the right words, even if we don't get the right ideas, even if we can't see anything, sometimes we can just smell that perfume of heaven. And to be in that garden, to smell the things that heaven is made of is enough to bring us great joy and comfort. So I just want to let you spin on that for a second. Where have you in your life seen God open the veil a little bit and help you to grow your faith so that the next time around, it may not have been easier, but you know you can trust the one on whom we've placed our anchor?
Well, I am a stubborn learner, and oftentimes God has to put me on my back to really listen to him. Recently, I had some issues with my back, as you know, and I was in the bed for a few days because I couldn't stand or walk or sit without much pain in my back. As I laid in the bed with pain meds in my body, I was grouchy and grumpy, and I was not at all happy about having to go through this again. It just seemed like, here we go again. Another time that I'm, you know, out of commission because I'd moved funny or did something strange or...
Fair disclosure here, the thing that messed your back up was a really traumatic event. You literally turned to your left to pick up something from the desk.
Exactly. Very traumatic.
And that was enough to set it off.
But as I was laying in the bed, I finally decided, okay, God, if you're going to have me in the bed, then I guess I might as well listen for whatever it is you might want to say to me. There began to be a peace in my heart. I don't feel like there was any major revelations for me during that time, other than I could just feel the presence of the Lord, just feel his delight in me. And that's one thing that I strongly desire. And as I laid there feeling useless, feeling like I'm not taking care of my family, there's tons of laundry piling up because we'd just gotten home from vacation. After Christmas, our daughter was about to leave to go back to school, and I wanted to spend time with her. All kinds of things were happening that I was not able to be part of because I was laying in the bed. Maybe I was a little angry and grouchy and all of that stuff that goes along with it. But laying there, I did begin to feel God's delight in me, to relax in that and to know that he was pleased with me regardless. I was not serving my family. I was not doing laundry, any of that stuff. I was just being still. In those moments, I believe I can feel God's pleasure in me and get a glimpse of his delight over me and over us as we just rest in him. Yes, there are times when we are called to get busy and be about the work of taking care of our household or about the work of spreading the gospel through sharing our faith with others. There are also times of rest that God says, I just want you to know that I'm delighted in you and I'm going to peel back the curtain of heaven just a little bit for you to see my delight in you. And I think that's the most recent thing I can think of that I would say, just getting a little glimpse of what's behind the veil and seeing God's pleasure in me, that it had nothing to do with what I was doing, but just who I was being at the moment.
Yeah. I really admire those people who can get into that mode of quiet contemplation and reflection and presence and enjoy God without being forced to. Mm-hmm. I'm much like you in that circumstances have to conspire against me at times to get me to slow down enough to pay attention to things that God may want to be looked at. Mm-hmm. But when you're finally drawn to that point of breaking away from your worries and enter into the joy of a child, it's transformative just to be able to share that moment.
It's a beautiful thing.
God wants us in those moments more often than not.
Yeah.
So we're invited. So if God is calling us to be quiet and be with Him by forcing us through circumstances, more power to Him. If He's inviting us and we respond without being forced, more power to both of us.
Right.
The point is, be with God. He's already with you. We're reminded about that ourselves in the past few days.
Well, I think that goes along with talking about anchoring our hope in the Holy of Holies, which is what you alluded to in your conversation with Cindy, and we'd been reading through Hebrews. Reading that passage probably multiple times throughout my life, it didn't really click with me what that meant or what that could mean. To actually anchor our hope in the Holy of Holies, it's not something we do because the scripture says our hope is anchored there.
Yeah.
It is a state of being. It is there. We had nothing to do with that. If we are connected to the chain that is the hope, that is the anchor, then we are anchored ourselves in the Holy of Holies. The scripture says in Ephesians that Jesus himself is our peace. And when we have that peace and it's anchored to the hope of the Holy of Holies, that's mind-blowing to me because the Holy of Holies was a place that was inaccessible.
In fact, there was the threat of immediate death if someone approached unworthy.
Right.
And yet we're now anchored to it.
And the veil was rent.
I'll bet everybody who's hearing this program probably knows somebody. And maybe that person is them, where it doesn't seem like life is full of chaos, but their life is chaos, and they feel chaotic all the time. My guess is that this truth has not penetrated deep enough yet, because we know that the anchor is sure by pulling on it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we're just spinning around, feeling like we're drowning, when we don't realize that we're anchored sure. You know, we're not drowning because something's pulling us down. We're fighting against the thing that's anchoring us and keeping us from floating away. And we got to learn that God is our Savior. The point is we're connected, leaning into that truth and asking Him. It's not a selfish thing to say, God, show your face to me today. Mm-hmm. Or help me to understand how I'm really truly anchored in you. Help me to act like I am. Because your word says that I am. I'm going to choose to believe that and act on that belief, even though I don't feel like it right now. When people do that, things change.
The whole analogy of an anchor, there's two ways to look at it. Even boats that are at rest, that are not being tossed by a storm, are typically anchored to something, unless they're moving. So we can have that assurance that even when we're in a good place in our lives, there's still an anchor that holds us to that place. It all goes back to a solid place to hold on to. And there's times when we're in a storm, and as believers, we know the scripture tells us there's going to be trials in our lives. There's times we're in a storm and we're being tossed around and we're not necessarily holding on ourselves to this chain that anchors us to the hope, but it's got us. It is secured to our vessel through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we can know that it's there.
Because we chose to act on that belief that it's true.
Right.
Or because we felt it tugging on us. So our experience tells us it's there. Either way, we have rested on that truth. But we still have to make that choice to believe it. Mm-hmm. I want to speak on behalf of all those who doubt. Doubts are fine. Doubt is human. God doesn't want us to be less than human, but He does want us to bring those doubts too. If we're not brave enough to do it, we need to get brave and ask the Holy Spirit to make us brave to bring those to God and say, I really doubt you on this, Lord. We feel like we can't say to God the thing that's really on our heart and our mind, even though God says, don't be double-minded. When you pray, pray what's really on your heart. The double-minded man shouldn't expect anything from God because he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. That's what that scripture means from James 1:6. So we need to be about the business of telling God the truth, which is where we really are right now, and allowing Him to respond to us with His truth.
Well, and being willing to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yep. They both don't have to be exclusive, but we have to be fully present. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for sharing this with me, honey. And next program, we're going to talk more about what it's like to go all the way to the last chapter in the story of Bible smuggling and what kind of results can come from that. We'll come back with that tomorrow.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, well, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a few minutes to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work that God is doing through this ministry. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to make your giving super easy, well, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And of course, you can always write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, it's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are very, very thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.